Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So much happening here at City Place Church. Also on your seat, you'll find a invite card to Pastor Steve Kelly this upcoming Wednesday night. There's some directions on there for you to attend. This is, he's like a grandpa of the house, Ty and I. He is our pastor, which allows him to be able to speak life in our church. And I was telling the church either last week or several weeks ago that he is a high-level influencer when it comes to ministry and the kingdom of God. And years and years ago, 20-plus years ago, he was a part of a staff called Hillsong Church. And he was the associate pastor for that church, spent a lot of years there helping it grow. And now Hillsong is crazy. And so crazy influential. And so the church where we came from is called Wave Church. We had 7 campuses that we were a part of. And he is going to be here. It's taken us almost 2 years to get him back because of scheduling and all those different things. And he is excited to be here. And so it is worth your investment to give up your Wednesday so that you can hear from him. I promise you that it is worth it. And I challenged the church the other, you know, a couple weeks back or last week. Our pastor is coming. And it would honor us for you to come. It would honor us for you to come because he could literally be speaking anywhere in the world. I was watching TV. Has anybody ever heard of Ed Young? So he puts on a conference every year, and my pastor, his son married his daughter, and I'm looking, like on the, I'm like, my pastor's there too? And then I look again, and he's at somebody else. And so I'm telling you that not to name drop, okay, but I want you to know what he means to us and who we are attached to, okay? So that's the only time I'm going to name drop, because as we're growing, sometimes it could seem like you're isolated or you're by yourself or we're just doing our own thing. But I want our church to be aware that God has strategically placed us in arm's reach of the world. And so today as we grow, like next week we'll celebrate 4 years, and as you grow, you feel the growing pains. But next time you look up and you're like, wow, the DNA that flows, oh, I get why we've seen almost 320 people meet Jesus in 3 years. Well, my pastor, you'll see it. You'll see it on Wednesday night. Like, he is crazy hungry for lost people. And so the reason why every single service, everything that we do will always include you having an opportunity to meet Jesus is because it's in the DNA. Are you with me? And so we go crazy about you getting to heaven and your friends. And if we didn't do anything else this service, we would give you an opportunity to meet Jesus. That's because it's in the DNA. Everything else, our worship, our kids' ministry, we build upon. We improve upon because it flows in the DNA. And so this Wednesday night, I challenge you, let's all come. 7 o'clock, the directions are on the invite card. I promise you, you will enjoy it. Amen? Anybody excited? You ready to get into God's word? Awesome. Last week, we had a great time of ministry, and I preached for like 20 minutes, and my mama said it was okay. I felt like I needed a little bit more time, and so this morning, I've got a lot that I want to deliver to you. I want all of us to be receptive to the word of God. I've gotten so much feedback on just the practical side of the series that we're in, and then I've got another series that I'm working on. Oh my goodness, there's so many things that I want to preach. This one's going to be a little bit, you know, I might step over your chairs and preach in your face. That's coming next. I've already got the title of my message for Easter. Like, I am so fired up and ready to go for what God has to say. But more than just me speaking, I'm excited about a community around us that is waiting for us to go after them. So many times we can invite them into our house, and they may feel uncomfortable in our house. But what if we meet them at their house? And so I'm just excited about it. Can anybody else be as excited about Jesus as I am this morning? I'm warming myself up because I know what I want to say. And if y'all help preach with the preacher, then we have a good time. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen, somebody? Don't worry, I'm not going to be rhythmic this morning because I don't want nobody to get to be uncomfortable. John chapter 5, 3 through 9 says this. It's on the screen to help you out. In these lay a great multitude of sick people. Everybody see sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, and waiting. Pause real quick, just so you guys know, and just so that I know, is that this scripture, God never uses words or verbiage just for word's sake, okay? There is a clear distinction between sick people, blind people, lame people, and paralyzed people in this text, okay? So we can't group sick people just as being sick people when we see scripture, it says sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, okay? So I'm pausing there because I want us to see that there is a clear distinction for where we're going. We are in a series called You in 5 Years. And our focus, which we started last week, is to get us physically fit and have a healthy soul. Physically fit and have a healthy soul. So let's keep going. So they were waiting for the movement of the water, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever, everybody say whatever, disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity, say infirmity. We have sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, people with whatever, and this man that had an infirmity. Infirmity refers to a corrupt desire, bearing of trials and troubles. So it's different than just sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, people with whatever. There's clear distinction that this person was carrying something that he didn't want to carry, and it was wearing him down. You with me? I'm pausing, stopping, kind of like a young driver. Pause, stop. Never want to be behind the person learning how to drive. You know, anybody else that happened? Student driver, I'm like, no. Can we practice in the parking lot? Anybody else? That's me. So he had this infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus looked at the man. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Change us, grow us, let us be passionate for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You have notes on your seat. Write this down. This was same as last week. You in 5 years, here's our target. Target number 2, physically fit and healthy in our soul. Physically fit and healthy in our soul. Breaking it down even more. The ability to live in godly freedom. Physically fit, healthy in our soul, the ability to live in godly freedom. 3 John says this. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So we have health and then we have soul health. We have physical health and then we have soul health. There is a clear distinction between blind, paralyzed, sick, lame, whatever, and infirmity. And then 3 John says, I desire that you live in health even as your soul prospers. Are you with me? So let me tell you the story. The Bible says that in this story that there is a porch that has 5 levels. 5 levels. And it says that as the waves of the water were turned every day, it said that each porch was filled with multitudes of people. And it had, each porch was filled with multitudes of people. And it said that every single day, as the people were waiting for the stirring of the water, someone would jump in first, and the person that got in first would get the miracle. So one person jumps in, they would get the miracle. Everybody else would either stay there for the rest of the day, go home, come back the next day. Aren't you glad that Jesus does miracles and you don't have to pick a number? You don't have to wait it out. You don't have to hope that maybe today's your day and he would pass you by and you live in disappointment. Aren't you glad that? And so the Bible says that there's five porters and this guy is sitting there and he's had this issue for 38 years. He's sitting in a place where there's blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, sick people, people that are dealing with whatever. He's got his own issue that is carrying him down, holding him down. And the Bible says that Jesus, the miracle worker, walks to where he is and Jesus asks him a question. He says, you need something? You want to be made well? I don't know. I love sporting events, and there have been times when I've had tickets to a game, and a scalper will come up, and they'll be like, you need to? You need to? You need to? I got what you need. You need to? You need to? See, Jesus is kind of coming, and he's like, I know you've been waiting here, but you don't have the access that you need, but let me make sure that you want the access, because maybe the ticket you're carrying is comfortable for you. So he comes over to him and he's like, hey, look, here's what I got. I got something. Do you want this? He says, now, do you want to be made well? He asks him like a scalper. He says, hey, look. So here's what I got. You got your tickets already? You're comfortable right here. You've been sitting right here, right? You haven't been able to get in the game yet. Okay, I got two right here. You want these? Why y'all laughing? That's the way I see the story. He comes, y'all saw it. We read it. He asked him, he said, you want to be made well? I feel like y'all are getting that from like movies. It's not from a movie. I'm just making the story come alive. We don't know how Jesus asked. Maybe he did. Maybe he stuttered. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Jesus looks at him and he says, you've got a ticket. You've been sitting here and the ticket that you've been carrying hasn't brought about what you want. So he says, You want to be made well? Yeah, maybe. And he puts the onus back on the lame man. He puts the onus back on the guy on the infirmity. It seems unfair that God would ask us if we want to be made well when he's fully aware that we're not doing well. Have you ever been in that place where you're like, God, I'm dealing with this. I know you see this. But there are times in our life where we're comfortable with waiting on somebody else to try to help us out. How many times do we call up our friend when we're going through that thing before we reach out to Jesus? I've done it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that to me. Let me call my friend. Listen, let me tell you what's going on. I am so tired. And then I go through it, and the next day come, and I realize that I'm not doing no better, so I call my next friend. Can you believe? Have you ever been in a place where you're trying to reach from what's around you, and Jesus is like, so look, do you want to be made well? Is it okay if I jump into this with you? Is it okay if I handle this with you? Or are you comfortable with the tickets you already got? That's what's happening in the story. And so the Bible says that Jesus is listening to the guy, and the guy goes, you see, every time I get on the bus, they have to put me on the bus. Someone carries me off the bus. Maybe that was his story. That's kind of how I see it because he's laying on the mat. Or maybe he's like, I bring this mat and I just lay on this thing every single day because the burden that I'm carrying is too much. It doesn't really say that he couldn't really walk. It just said that he was laying on the mat. I'm just saying. So not everything is sickness, blindness, lameness, being paralyzed. Sometimes it's whatever, or it's the infirmity. I don't know how he got there. Did he bring his own mat? Did he lay there? Was he laying there every single day? I don't really know. So he gives Jesus, every time I try to do this, somebody jumps in ahead of me. How many times do we give Jesus an excuse of why? We won't give him permission. After he asks us, do we want to be made well? Anybody do that? Jesus is like, do you want me to heal you? And you go, but Lord, the last time I gave, the last time I was faithful in that church hurt me. I don't want to go back to church. And he's like, you need to be planted. I don't know if I want another mate after the last one just was trifling and crazy. And God's like, but I got somebody designed to take you higher. I'm just asking a question. Sometimes we give God so many excuses, and he's like, whenever you're finished. I love it, though, because there are moments in our life where God's like, listen, I need to make sure that you are physically fit and healthy in your soul. And he looks at him, and he says this, and this is what's crazy. He really doesn't even tell him he's healing him. He says, let me give you vision. Rise up, take up your bed, walk home. I don't hear anything in there that says you're healed, set free, delivered. He says, I'm going to give you vision for your life. Here it is. It's an undertone. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Do you know what Jesus was saying? What I declare to you through vision is going to set you in a course of life where the healing comes after you accept what I've told you. See, when we accept the word of God, he handles everything else. Our series has been focused on aligning ourselves with the vision that God has for us. See, sometimes you're not going to get all the details right away. Sometimes you just get the faith moment. Rise. Take up your bed. Walk. Do you know what Jesus is saying? I am healing you. I want you to grab hold of what I am telling you, and I want you to put it into action. Sometimes when God says stuff to us, when we're trying to be healed, when we're trying to get healthy in our soul, it's not like, I'm healing you of your mind. I'm healing you of your body. Sometimes he says, let's activate your faith. Rise, take up your bed, walk. And then Jesus just goes, what you gonna do about it? Can you imagine if the man goes, but I done told you. Nobody's here to help me. I done told you that I'm waiting for the water. But here's what the man says. If that's the vision that you see for my life, I'm going to take up my mat. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to walk. Let me give you just a couple of things to write down. You ready? In order to fulfill my God-aligned vision, I have to have vision for my body and my soul. In order to fulfill my God-aligned vision, I have to have vision for my body and my soul. Jesus obviously knew that that man was going to tell about his encounter. If you read the rest, he tells it. If you read the rest of the chapter, he tells it. Jesus knew that by giving that man vision, that he was going to give him vision for his body and his soul, because the Bible says he was stuck in an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus gives him a vision that doesn't even make sense. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. The man says, that's the vision for my life. You know what? Today is the day I rise, take up my bed, and walk. See, it doesn't look like Jesus is giving vision. It looks like Jesus is giving instruction. But if you look throughout the word of God, every time God gives a command or God gives an instruction, if you put, I will not commit adultery, that's a vision for my life. It constrains me. It tells me what things I won't say yes to. So sometimes the instruction of God and the command of God, it seems like it's just a rule. No, if I put an I will, then I allow it to become my vision. So when he says, rise, get up, take up your bed and walk, the man's like, this is going to be my vision. I've been stuck right here for 38 years. My vision had to be I'm going to let somebody help me into the water. I'm changing that vision. I'm going to receive what he said. I'm going to rise, take up my bed and walk, which means that I will be walking. You got it? So my vision and God's vision have to be aligned. When I aligned it, then I realized that it's going to impact my body and my soul. If I allow Jesus permission, if I allow him permission, I will break free from my mindset. I will break free from people. I will break free from illness and sickness. I will break free from my addiction and strongholds. And I will break free from financial strongholds. If I give Jesus permission, notice, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, sick people, people with whatever, infirmities, and Jesus says, I'm going to deal with the heaviness that you're carrying. It doesn't say what he was carrying, but Jesus says, I'm going to deal with all of that. Take up your bed and go. If I allow Jesus permission, Jesus will deal with every single aspect of my life. Here's God's vision for your body. This is kind of a review from last week. God's vision for your body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. God's vision for your body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. One more time. God's vision for your body is a temple full of his presence, sculptured in his image, created to impact the world with his power. I know this sounds like I'm talking really about physically fit because we're talking about the body, but we'll get to the place at the end. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which are God's. Resting on the inside of you is the very same spirit, according to Romans 8, 11, that raised Jesus from the dead. You're housing the power of God himself. You're housing the very nature of God in you right now. That's the reason why God wants us to be physically fit, sculptured in his image, holding the very power of God. How many of y'all really believe that you have the same spirit living on the inside of you? But how many times do we overlook it? Living on the inside of you. And there is a requirement to keep this temple tight. The reason why is because God's vision is going to think from the end back to the beginning. God's got future. We've been talking about you in 5 years. You in 5 years, I have to be physically fit, healthy in my soul so that I can live in freedom. Note this down. One broken place in you impacts his dwelling place. We said that last week. One broken place in you impacts his dwelling place. One broken place in you impacts his dwelling place. The reason why is because the minute the enemy throws a blow or there's a broken place, we turn our attention from God onto the infirmity. We turn our attention from God into the thing that's broken. And when Jesus gives vision to that man, he says, rise, take up your bed, walk. I'm going to do something in you, and I'm going to do it now. Let me give you several things. Ready? Physical fitness and a healthy soul involves Jesus and you. It involves Jesus and you. Jesus is going to give you the vision for your life. You just have to act it out. Jesus is going to give you the vision for your life. You just have to act it out. So let's get practical. Let's set a vision for your physical health. Here we go. Setting a vision for your physical health. I want you guys to write this down. Number one, if you like reading, there's a really good book by Lance Witt called Replenish, and he talks about physically fit, healthy soul, so that God can really work through you. Write this down. Number one, setting a God-centered physical fitness and healthy soul vision. Number one, go to school on your soul. Go to school on your soul. I like to say it like this, old school, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Go to school on your soul. Now, let's give context again. You can keep that up there as to why we're doing this series. We said that we needed to have a God-aligned vision and that it would require us focusing on four areas. One was our spiritual life. The second was our physical life. Third was our stewardship. And the last one was our social influence. We have to spend time and get our physical and soul life healthy. If not, we're going to run adrift. Jesus dealt with the man's issue of his soul and then his health, and then that man set his city ablaze. We're reading about him today. And so my assignment is to get us healthy and whole, because how are we going to be able to see God clearly, have a vision for our life for the next decade, if we're not dealing with the areas that Jesus is focused on? Are you with me? Just having a goal, just chasing vision, and we break down along the way is not in God's design. So we have to go to school with our soul. Here's what Proverbs 4:21 says. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Everything flows from it. Here's something from Lance Witt. Here's his quote. Y'all can listen to this. Some of the things that people applaud us for are also the same things that will wreck our soul. That work habit. You're a hard worker. You're a provider. You're nonstop. You're tenacious. Some things that people applaud us for will wreck us. God's vision for our life has, he's thinking in decades. He's not thinking in days. So we have to have a vision for our physical fitness and our healthy soul. Number two, this is from Lance Witt, just practical. Aggressively body check your personal ambition. Aggressively body check your personal ambition. Personal ambition is in conflict with godly vision. Are you with me? Personal ambition is in conflict with godly vision. That's the reason why we're focused on getting vision for our spiritual life, our physical life, our stewardship, and our social influence. James 3:16 says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Watch out for yourself. Point number one, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Watch out for personal ambition. This is the reason why we start off with spiritual vision. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to be passionate with God. I've got a vision. God, I'm going to give you everything that I have. I'm going to sell out to you. My vision for my life is I want to know you in an intimate way. If I start with the spiritual, then I give God permission to deal with everything else that could get in the way. Number three, grab your calendar by the throat. The man said, every time I try to jump in, somebody jumps in before me. Let's get that calendar right. Don't let people plan stuff for you. Don't let just activities rule your life. We have to be physically fit and healthy in our soul. I get here. I got it scheduled the way I'm going to jump in, and then somebody jumps in before me. And then I put that on the calendar, the man was like. I was trying to schedule it this way, and then I end up just staying here longer because I was waiting to see. No. Get your calendar by the throat. Get your calendar by the throat. How many of y'all do a calendar? I know that's practical. Here's what Lance Witt says. Write this down. Clarity plus courage plus time with God equals healthy living. Clarity plus courage plus time with God equals healthy living. I grab my calendar by the throat because I'm including God in the planning process. I'm including God in everything. I don't know about you guys, but I can get on the verge of burnout consistently. Anybody else? Have you ever asked why? The reason why is because I'm running and I haven't slowed down to give myself vision for my physical fitness. I say yes to everything. But if I had a vision, then vision would constrain me. Number four, Jesus works in your rest. Jorge, you can come up. Jesus works in your rest. Finishing up the story. The Bible says that Jesus is doing the miracle, and then it ends by saying, and it was the Sabbath. Jesus did a miracle on a day of rest. Every religious person was like, he's working. He's working. Why would you heal him on the Sabbath? You're a sinner. You're not supposed to be working. And Jesus is like, I work when you rest. See, coming to church on Sunday, this isn't work. This is worship. Sometimes we take Sundays from church off. This is worship. Jesus says, I work while you rest. Do you know that Sabbath is not a day? It's a setting aside and a commitment of your time when you grab the calendar by the throat. So Sabbath is not Sunday. I don't want to break anything off. Sabbath is not Sunday. We were in Israel. It started at a nighttime, and it went through the next day. Sabbath is the cutting off of the thing that distracts you. I was hanging out with my son, and we did a phone check, and I had been on my phone for 5 hours. We were riding in the car the other day. And I wasn't on my phone the whole time, but throughout the day, I had scrolled a total of 5 hours. Can y'all pray for me? You say, wow. But even on my day off, I try to take Monday as a Sabbath day. Do you know what I do? I do everything that doesn't heal my soul. I'll binge watch something, and then my mind's going. And I'm like, I can't believe Jack Bauer. What? Huh? And I'll watch hours and hours and hours, and that's not refreshing me. And then I'll be on my computer hour after hour after hour. And do you know what Sabbath means? Sabbath means to sit aside the thing that saps you of your energy. Do you know what a Sabbath for you could be? If you love gardening and you decide, today, I'm going to rest. Do you know that gardening for you could be part of your Sabbath? Because you're out there with Jesus and you're like, oh my goodness, I am so glad that I get to do this. Woo, this is so refreshing. Whereas for me, I'm like, please, no. That doesn't refresh me. But a Sabbath is just pulling in to your time and space, the thing that refreshes you. Watch now, with the Lord. It's not an absence of worship. It's an absence of the thing that pulls you away. And Jesus goes to the man on a Sabbath day and he says, yo, 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 yo. Which you got? What you got? What you got? You comfortable with the seats you got? Would you like me to work while you rest? Sit there. I know you're looking for a man. You just sit there. It's Sabbath day. Let me give you vision. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. Jesus works in your rest. See, if we can get a vision for our physical fitness and our healthy soul, we'll be able to run to the thing that God has for us. I was challenged yesterday by a couple in the church, because last year I had the audacity to tell them I was going to commit to working out. And I shouldn't have said nothing, because then I was held accountable, because I told them that I was going to work out. And then I'm preaching the series, and this is the week where I'm doing physical fitness. And so they asked me yesterday, so how are you working out? And I got a little like, why are you going to ask me that? And this is what they said. They said, but that was what you said. That was the vision that you said. Like, you going to do it or not? And then they said this, and I was like, hey, wait a second now. I'm your pastor. I didn't pull that card. I didn't. But they just said, like, why are you finding an excuse to not fulfill the vision that you set? And then he said, why don't you just start with a day so that you can get back on your vision? Healthy in your fitness and in your soul. So here's a couple of practical things. You can steal these from me. Here's just a couple of practical ideas, okay? You can just write this down, and this is, you can help it formulate your vision. What if we decided to eat healthy, no fried foods? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. No fried foods. Today we're having a dream team party, and this rule is already broken. We got fried chicken. Hallelujah. That's a true story, y'all. What if I targeted my frame? Listen. This is you in 5 years. I don't have the pressure. What if I decide that I'm going to lose a little something in 5 years. No pressure for them. Just so y'all know, I'm going to go to the gym once a week over the next 5 years. Come on, somebody. I got time. They back there shaking their head. Look at them. What if I eat a fruit every day? Drink water every day. I walk. I work out 4 times a month. Come on, hallelujah. I run a marathon for all of our crazy people? What if medically I have a desire over the next 5 years I come off the high blood pressure medicine or diabetes? This is the next 5 years. What if we just give vision to our life? Soul health. What if I go and meet with a Christian counselor? It's not taboo. One of the things they encourage us pastors to do is to have a good counselor. In the first year of our church, my wife and I, we were sitting there like, ma'am, let me tell you about her. And y'all, we still saying. No, but look, you gotta have a team. What if we got rid of some negative friends? I know they've been with you since you grew up, but dang, they still on the street corner? Really? Loyalty is good. But sometimes you're still in the same place because of your friends. I know that's hard to hear. They're not mine, they're yours. I have them. Sometimes I'm like, hey, listen, you're not speaking faith. I can't bring you in this conversation. Sorry. Because when you speak negative to me, I doubt God. All right, y'all don't want to hear that one. What if we establish accountability to overcome an addiction? Or we use the calendar. We go for a walk. We set phone guidelines. And then last but not least, establish a Sabbath day or hours in a week where you do nothing. And you just allow Jesus to be a part of that moment. You can steal all of that. If we have a vision for our spiritual life, we have a vision for our healthy life, what we're doing is we are aligning ourselves with God because he desires for us to live in health even as our soul prospers. Here's a little vision verse I put together for your physical health and soul health. Again, this is just to get you thinking. To break generational health problems in my family line by living a passionate, Christ-centered life, by maintaining my body and soul health through eating well, physical fitness, and Sabbath. Anxiety, high blood pressure runs in my family. I'm going to steal that. It's going to be broken. My kids are not going to deal with that because I'm going to live healthy. Or what if we protect and guard our soul from addiction, spiritual strongholds, and sin choices that impacts the Holy Spirit's dwelling place, realizing that a healthy me can do more for God's vision because my body was created for his presence and power to be displayed. Just a vision statement for my physical life. I've got a spiritual vision. I've got a physical vision. And it all aligns with how God sees me.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.